David Seymour is kindly with us for a kōrero today. David, tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Pretty sad situation there yesterday. Look, don't hold you responsible at all, but because it was right in your electorate, eh? Bizarre situation yesterday. No doubt, like everyone else, feeling for these young fellas who we still don't quite know what future lies ahead for them, but a strange old place we live in at times, David.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, I think a lot of people were worried that this was a deliberate, premeditated terror type attack. That was my first thought when I heard about this, and I called someone at the police to ask what's going on, and they said, look, it's not that. And that, you know, that there's no ongoing danger. There was just one offender who was deranged and has been detained. So there's, you know, that's the kind of good part of this, is that it's not part of a wider, you know, issue with or an offender on the loose. On the other hand, the impact on these boys is obviously enormous, not just those three who were hit and have been hospitalised, but also the other two boys who were with them on the bikes. So that's a real problem. All we can do is hope that they have a full and speedy recovery.
Yeah, tēnā koe. P-fueled?
Don't know that. There's going to be an arraignment at the court today where the guy will be charged, and I'm sure that there will be a lot of interest in further details of what's going on with this guy.
Tēnā koe. You and I were warm last night, but plenty weren't. What would you say about the desperate situation? In fact, some say the economic circumstances are the worst that they've been, well, since the war or the Great Depression. And how does it sit with you that some old people are being forced to decide whether or not to turn on the heating or to eat?
Well, you want to get rid of poverty and be wealthy wherever you can. We know what it takes to do that. It takes a growing economy. And what does that mean? It means businesses taking a chance on hiring a new person. It means providing a new service or a new product that people are prepared to pay more for. And it means being able to buy better stuff at the shops or better services that make your life better. So you need that circle of growth to occur. That's the only way that you get rid of poverty, the only way it's ever worked. And unfortunately, too often, people expect that government is going to solve these problems. And we give a whole lot of money and power to the government, and they use that power to actually suppress growth and suppress wealth, because people get tied up in stupid rules, have to pay too much in tax, and we're less able to provide for ourselves, our families and our communities as a result. So, yep, it's never good to hear about people who are going without, but we know what the only cure to poverty that has been discovered in human history, and that is a growing free market economy where people can provide for themselves with innovation, new goods and services, investment, higher wages. Those are all the things that you need.
Tēnā koe. The unemployment rate's at 5.6, the Māori unemployment rate at 10.8. I put to Winston earlier in the program that in between is racism. How would you respond to that suggestion?
Well, the first thing I would ask is how much of that is age-related, because one of the best-known features of the Māori population is that it's actually younger than the rest of the population. So as a result, you're going to have people who are going to be less employed. And then the second thing I would ask is about location. So, for example, Northland is one of the most Maori concentrated parts of the country, up where I'm from, up north, almost 50% Maori. But it's also a rural area, just like the East Cape. Some of these isolated areas have some of the worst unemployment, whether you're Maori or Pākehā. So by the time you allow for age and location, you might find that it's not necessarily a difference with Maori. Actually, it's a difference that applies to all people in the same circumstances. Now, you know, you can talk about racism, but I urge you to be very careful about that, because if you say it's about race, then are you saying that it's the employers are bad people? Because, you know, you need some evidence for that. Or are you saying that Maori are somehow less capable or less motivated to work? I'd be very careful about saying that. Far better to look at all the facts and understand the situation than revert to accusations of racism.
Doesn't make the figure any more acceptable. So why is the Māori unemployment rate published? Why is it not rural or youth unemployment rates? And if so, what are they?
Well, those are, and I haven't come with every figure for every region and every age group memorised. I can, if you want me to do that, let me know. I'll do it next time I'm on your show. But nonetheless, we know that areas like Northland have much higher unemployment than others, and we know that youth unemployment is much higher than for older New Zealanders. And those two things go a long way to explaining the difference with Māori unemployment, because Māori tend to live in more regional areas, and they also tend to be younger. So as a result, you can understand why you get to that conclusion.
Tēnā koe. Were you proud to stand beside a guy who refers to our rangatahi as little shits?
Well, he hasn't done that, but he said that there are some little shits in classrooms, and that is absolutely true. There is some behaviour that is disruptive to the rest of the class, and we need to start asking ourselves, what are we doing for all those children that are sitting there quietly wanting to learn, instead of worrying about the kid that's acting up? And you know what? The funny thing is, if you actually set the rules right and create the right incentives and say, no, you know what? If you misbehave, you will be kicked out of the class and you will be made to go and sit in a room under supervision, and your parents will be called in. And if you assault the teacher, you will be suspended. And if your parents don't cooperate, they will be fined. We're sending a very clear message that you need to behave in class. Don't be a little shit. Because there's a whole lot of people that want to learn. And why do they want to learn? Well, funnily enough, so they can get a job, so that they can earn higher wages because they've got more skills, so they don't have to choose between turning the heater on or buying food when they're older. So we're actually trying to solve the very problems that you complained about. You've got to decide if you want to get on board with the solution, which is education in orderly classrooms. Not what we have right now, which is the most disorderly classrooms in the developed world. How do you think that's going to work out for New Zealand in 20, 30 years' time, when the entire workforce learnt their skills in the most disruptive classrooms in the developed world? Not well, and that's why we've got to get on top of this. And if you think calling a couple of kids a little shit is a big problem, then I think you've really thought about how big the problems we're going to have if we don't get on top of this are.
I'd suggest that you're not thinking enough about the disadvantage that many of these so-called little shits have come from. And it's not a term that I'd hear from you. I've listened to you for a decade, and I haven't heard you use a term like that.
It's all disadvantage.
Lacks a bit of class.
He's got a bit to learn,
don't you think? He might have a public profile, but I sense he's a little out of his league.
Very funny, and I thought it was very funny, and it's got you talking about it. See, you've been interviewing me for a decade. You've never asked me about classroom disruption again. So he's already achieved before. So he's already achieved something, and if we don't get on top of classroom disruption, this country is stuck. And I actually believe it's one of the most important things we can do for our future, based on the facts that we're the worst in the developed world. And that we've also been free-falling down the league tables for reading, math, science. We used to be top three in the world. Now we're lucky if we're top 20, sometimes top 30. And if we don't get on top of that, all the problems that you normally worry about are going to be so much worse. We've got to get on top of these things. And what's more, if we don't have children going to school, they're not going to learn a lot. Well, the reason a lot of kids don't go to school is because they can't handle the environment that they're put in. So this is, you can talk all day about disadvantage and everyone's a victim. I'm talking about what do we actually do about it to get a prosperous society. Well, and having classrooms where kids can learn sounds like a pretty good start.
Well, let's allow our teachers to manhandle them, shall we?
Well, you know what? I think if a teacher needs to grab a kid by the shoulder and walk them out of the room, they should be allowed to do that. without going through the ringer for months of bureaucratic form filling and appearances before the Teachers Council, because at the moment the teachers are often fearful of what will happen, so they just let the kid have their way. And we need to get to a point where it's clear that the teacher's in charge. You assault them, you're suspended. If they put their hand on your shoulder leading you out of the classroom, guess what? You're not going to put them through the ringer bureaucratically, because the teacher's in charge. We trust them and we back them. And the whole community is going to support them. And that means, if that means the rest of the kids can learn, that's great. If it means that kid learns their lesson, comes back and is actually a cooperative member of the classroom so they can learn too, that's even better.
Okay. Will the next act policy be to bring back corporal punishment?
No, because corporal punishment is something very different. Corporal punishment is when you hit or somehow inflict pain on a person who is not currently offending. We don't support that at all. What we do support is the teacher being in charge of the classroom, supported to be in charge of the classroom, and not fearful of being put through the bureaucratic ringer. This is what we need in order to maintain classroom order. Corporal punishment went out in 1989. That's when you were young, Dale.
You're quite right there. But I was never caned.
I find that very hard to believe.
I did get the strap in primary school. But I was a goody two shoes in secondary school.
I struggle. I'm going to take you at your word, but I struggle to believe it.
Okay, and yeah, I do take your point. Now, look, you've announced a policy to close the medicines funding gap with Aussie. We know that Māori experience poorer health outcomes than many other New Zealanders. Tell us about this policy and how it would specifically improve access and outcomes for our people and Māori communities, rather than relying on a one-size-fits-all approach, David?
Sure. So first of all, it's not one-size-fits-all. It's you as a patient and your doctor getting a diagnosis and getting a prescription and taking a medicine. And there's a lot of people who hopefully never really need any medicines, and that's lucky. There's other people that will need hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of dollars of medicines in their life. And the trick is to make sure that every patient is given a fair share of what's available. So that's number one. Number two, we have a massive medicines gap with Australia. There's literally hundreds of medicines that Australians can get funded by their government that we can't get. And that is a real cause of pain. It's one thing to be sick. It's quite another thing to feel like you're living in an increasingly second world country. So we've got to get on top of this. The simple fact is that at the moment, we spend 5% of all healthcare spending on medicines. In Australia, they spend 12%. In the average of the developed world, the OECD, they spend 13%. So we're at 5, or Aussies at 12, the average is 13. We are so far behind other countries in terms of how much of our health budget we spend on medicine. And so our policy is to say this year we're at 5%, next year we're going to spend 6% of the healthcare budget on medicine, the year after that we're going to spend 7% of the healthcare budget on medicine, and the year after that 8%. Eventually, by 2033, we will be spending 12% of our healthcare budget on medicines. But the beauty of this is, because we're doing it over that seven-year period, we're not going to cut anything else in health. We're going to ring-fence the first 1% of increased healthcare spending, and we're going to put that into medicines. So we'll be 12%, same as Australia, and a whole lot of medicines that aren't currently funded for New Zealanders will then be funded.